Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just decision for me against my adversary.' For a long time, the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Many of you are aware of the fact that I come from a decent-sized family. I'm the oldest of five kids, the youngest of which was born when I was 14. So a lot of my childhood memories are with my three other siblings, the four of us together. And we didn't have the most elaborate household when we were growing up, the most extravagant or wealthy household. So a lot of the times when we went out to play, it was with whatever we could find and just our imaginations to kind of have a good time. Especially during the summer months when school was out, we had to kind of find our own way to enjoy the summer break. And I remember, especially in the early part of summer or late spring, Dad had this apple orchard behind the house. And we would go back there because the apples that were blossoming and turning into apples and growing, there were some that stayed on the trees, and they would be harvested in the fall, and there'd be beautiful apples then. But in the early summer, early spring, some of them, the little bitty green apples, they would just fall off the tree, and they would litter the ground. And as little kids coming out there and seeing all these little apples on the ground, we thought to ourselves, this is the perfect thing to throw at each other. So we would gather them up, and it was like a snowball fight, you know, in the beginning of summertime, and we'd be sitting there pegging each other with these apples, and it was usually two on two for teams, or we'd all be, you know, every man for himself. And we'd always play until someone got, like, hit in the eye or something, and then we had to try and cover it up so Mom and Dad didn't find out, and we'd all get in trouble. But I remember there was one time we were out there, and, you know, we're throwing these apples at each other, you know, and all of a sudden my sister, she threw up her hands and she said, "Stop!" And we all stopped, you know, and we're like, you know, did you get hit? You know, are you okay? Like, you know, what's going on? And she reached towards her chest and she said, "My necklace, you know, I lost my necklace." And you have to understand, this was when she was 7 years old, and this was a gold necklace that she had received for First Communion. And she cherished this thing. This thing was very important to her. She wore it all the time, even in the midst of an apple war. And so we stopped everything, you know, and we're sitting there, and we're trying to look through the grass underneath the trees, trying to find this, and we were running all over the place, and started praying to St. Anthony, you know, patron saint of lost items, praying to God. Hour after hour passed, and here we are trying to make this concerted effort to find this necklace in the grass. And we didn't. And so that night, you know, we prayed that we might find that necklace. And the next morning, we got back out there, and again, we searched and searched and searched, trying to find this necklace, praying the entire time that we're out there, and we couldn't find it. And we went out the next day, and the next day, and the next day. We never found that necklace. And I remember being very disappointed that we didn't find it. Not that because of our efforts going out there every day and looking for it, but because we'd go to church and we'd hear time and again how God would answer our prayers. That if we came to him over and over, if we prayed enough, God would answer. But he didn't. And we were left wondering about that. So many times in our lives we have this experience of praying for something, anything, and being let down. Being left with that sensation that God didn't answer our prayers. As if God wasn't listening. Sometimes it's trivial things like lost items. Sometimes it's big things like family members with cancer or family members who have left the faith or our own worries and concerns about daily life. And sometimes we pray unceasingly as the gospel instructs us to do today. We knock on the door waiting for an answer, storming the gates of heaven day and night. And God seems to be silent. You know, there's a story in Scripture where there was a prayer that went unanswered. There was a time at the end of Jesus' ministry. He knew the end was coming. He had just had his last supper with his disciples, was preparing for the final climax of his ministry of giving his all, dying on the cross for us, going through a terrible, torturous event of the crucifixion. It was the night before he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying to God in his agony. It relates that he was sweating drops of blood, so intense was his prayer. And it was a very human prayer, a very, very ungodly prayer, really, where he says to the Heavenly Father, he says, God, allow this chalice to pass from me. Let it be that I do not have to drink of this cup. But not my will, but thine be done. Can you imagine if God the Father had heard that prayer of his only Son and had answered it? It would have been miraculous. It would have been amazing to think that Christ, who had journeyed this way and had upset so many people along the way that they were wanting him crucified, the trajectory was already set that his trial and crucifixion were going to happen, and that God would step in at the last moment and answer that prayer, that the chalice would pass from him. It would have been a miracle. And yet God didn't answer that prayer. Instead, he let something even more wonderful happen. As Christ went up on that cross, he was able to save the world, redeeming us all of our sins, doing something that changed the course of history and that we celebrate every time we come to Mass. And so it's true, God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that we would like, but every time that we come to him in prayer, a miracle takes place. Why? Because every time we come to God and we pray to him and we reveal to him what's in our hearts, what our desires, our thoughts, our feelings are, he hears those prayers. That's his promise. And we are intrinsically changed when that happens. Our hearts are aligned with God's, and something amazing happens. We start to think like God would think. We see the world as God sees the world. In fact, we become divine. We become more than just our human nature allows us to be. In prayer, we become who God wants us to be. And so let us pray. Let us come to him with everything that we have. Let's pray for the family member who has cancer. Let us storm the gates of heaven for the ones who have fallen away. Let's pray for ourselves when we are struggling, when we are tempted and tried, when we have our own tribulations. Let us pray every time, knowing for a fact that God hears us and he answers us. And so here's the challenge for us. Here in the month of October, we are having stewardship. We are having the sense of giving to the church how we can promote our faith. And my challenge to you during this month, as we prepare for Intention Weekend, is to give 1 hour of our week outside of Mass and prayer. Either 1 hour in one go on a given day during the week, maybe perhaps in our own adoration chapel, that would be awesome. Or to break that hour up, spend 10 minutes of every day, those 6 other days, giving praise and glory to God, assaulting him with our prayers, asking for help in our need. Maybe it's 5 minutes in the morning giving thanks for all that he's giving us, and 5 minutes in the evening examining our conscience and wondering how we did good and how we failed. And I can guarantee that if we do that, everything else in our life will fall into place. Everything else that we are worried about or stressed about or wondering about will take care of itself, because we will finally see the world as God sees it, and a miracle will take place. Amen.